Mama, I'm Gosia's Carrot, and this is the Firestarter Mom podcast, the show where we feature inspiring conversations with Firestarter moms and experts on motherhood identity shift, finding our inner fire back, and feeling adequate and empowered as moms and women. Welcome! What identity loss looks like for high-achiever moms? Is having it all a modern myth? How human design can help you find your truth and explode your self-confidence? If you are curious to find answers to that, this episode is for you. In today's episode, I speak to Nete Hargreaves, a human design guide and a mom to Lily, who shares her motherhood identity shift story and how human design has empowered her to reclaim herself with confidence and guilt-free boundaries in life. Nete is passionate about empowering women to be the feminine leaders of their families and communities. Her mission is to make human design fun and accessible so that you can walk away with tangible tools to help you live a richly fulfilled life as the heroine of your own story. I hope you enjoy it as much as I have when speaking to Nete. Let's get started. Nete, I'm so excited to welcome you to the show.
I am so excited to be here.
Yes,
I was so excited to find you online. It was like everything you were writing was like, oh my God, I so resonate with what you're saying.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah, for all of you who don't know, I set up recently the Instagram account community for Firestarter Mom podcast. And yes, and I was looking also at experts and coaches and basically all inspirational people out there. And definitely when I saw Nete and how she conveys her take on her perspective of human design, when I saw it, how unique it is and with a bit of fun. And plus, I know you are the self-love advocate as well. You add the sprinkle of it. So that is something that for me was that sweet spot. And I really wanted to talk to you about this. And about human design, but about your journey as a mom, because you are a mom as well, which is wonderful. And so I wanted to maybe start with asking a question about really your identity journey, because we all had life before becoming moms and then after. Yeah. So the first question is, can you tell me who were you before becoming a mom?
I love this question, because before I became a mom, I was in the hotel industry. So I was working in hotels, I was working in corporate, and I was really living this sort of self-expressed single lifestyle. I was traveling, I was successful, I had money, friends, you know, it was like kind of like the world is your oyster, and it was a lot of fun. And equally, I knew that, you know, hotels wasn't the career I could do forever, because when you do it at a high level, it becomes your life. But the things that I valued, like, you know, freedom and independence and adventure and experiences, they were all easy because I had no other responsibilities. I had no one else to look after. And I probably didn't actually realize how important those things were to me until, in the process of becoming a mom, I very much fell into this cultural internal and external narrative of about, well, you can't have these things anymore now because you're a mom and you have responsibilities. And that was really difficult and definitely felt like a massive shift in identity, because when you aren't those things that you used to be anymore, there's always this liminal space, this in-between space where you go, well, who am I now?
That is such a massive topic, actually, what you are saying, because as moms, well, I am a new mom actually right now. So my daughter is only 16 months old, and I see kind of part of this narrative about the whole concept of having it all and how we now redefine it. And actually, is having it all a bullshit, or is having it all something that is actually achievable? So I think I've noticed there's a lot of people, women, obviously moms, challenging that concept to start with, and it goes really, can go really deep. So when you look back at your journey, what did you find most challenging, like on an emotional level, and also when it comes to like your very own self-image? Because you see, when we are, you know, when we become moms, we hold certain image of ourselves. We see ourselves in our mind in a certain way, as maybe high achiever, or, you know, thanks to your great achievement in your career, you certainly had certain kind of perception of yourself. So can you tell me how all those things really have changed for you when you became mom? when you can compare your before after. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to say it. I feel that there is so much cultural bullshit out there, and that we really fall into this trap of all these different narratives that aren't our own. So for starters, there's sort of like the pre-motherhood narrative of, you believe, and like everyone else tells you, how beautiful it is to have a child and how lovely and how gorgeous. And we kind of live a bit in this dream world of, oh, it's just going to be lovely, me and my child. And as a first-time mom, you actually don't realize how much your life changes in an instant and all the time and energy of yours that now have to go towards looking after this infant. So in many ways, I feel like we're being set up from the start because there's very few moms. There was actually no moms that had conversations with me about, at times you will find this hard. And you will need to be okay asking for help, and you don't need to be doing it all, and you don't need to be doing the dishes while your baby's asleep, and all of those things. So I really missed out on that wisdom from other mothers. And equally, whilst I don't want to make motherhood into a terrible thing because it's not, but also I found that, when I've tried to sort of weave that into conversations with other mums to be, it's actually not wanted. Like, it feels like, nobody wants to talk about that. Yes, at times it is hard because we're also focused on, we're doing this because it's a beautiful thing. So that's one thing sort of pre-birth that I feel like in many ways we're not really prepared. And even when we do like, NCT classes or sort of prenatal classes, there are a lot of them about the practicalities, like what will it be like to give birth and, how do we change a nappy? But for women, I think in general, culturally, what we're missing is this emotional narrative of, how do things actually impact us and not whitewash it. So to me, I definitely felt this loss of identity because identity is a huge piece of who I am. And I really felt this loss of identity very keenly after I had my daughter. And also very early on, kind of found a need to like, fill that space. So it's like, okay, so now I'm a mom. I'm no longer working in the corporate world. I no longer have that title. I'm no longer other things that I have done. Like, I was a student for a while in between. I studied as a mature, adult. So now I've lost all of these titles and I'm mom, but who am I? So even when Lily was like 6 months old, I started a blog and I challenged myself to like, write blog posts every day. And even
Amazing.
though those were just like tiny little snippets, it was hugely fulfilling for me also to share my experience as a new mom. And I also try to make it fun, and sometimes I would just observe interesting things. But this
So
need
what
to
I
kind of
hear,
re-find myself was really, really strong.
so what I hear that, yeah, as a someone who I don't want to label people, but definitely, but I see similarities in terms of like the kind of high achiever or very like make it happen person. Yes, who simply enjoys doing things, achieving, creating something new projects and stuff like that. So I understand that your sense of identity was very much linked to what you were doing or how you were doing things, right? And then the moment you couldn't do what you were doing or how you were doing, including lifestyle and all those things. So if your how, if your what just went away, then suddenly, yeah, you feel that, who am I now? Yeah. And often I think that when we identify ourselves through what we do or how we do things, rather than through who we are in the core, then often that is how we may lose that sense of self even more. Yes, that is my personal re reflection that I've been since becoming a coach. I definitely started to like look a little bit deeper about what the identity really is and how I define it. Even despite me knowing all that, after becoming a mom, it was very similar to what you are saying. I realized how much I actually still linked my identity to what I was doing. I was a life coach, business coach. All those things that actually I was doing, but also lifestyle, having personal space, not having that personal space suddenly seems like I was mourning myself. Like, where is the Gosha I knew? Yeah, so it's really interesting. But yeah, when you actually became a mom, I am interested. How did you redefine the idea of success? I'm sure that you had certain definition of what success means to you or what's important to you before, and then how has that changed from motherhood for you?
Oh, that's really interesting. I'm just going to backtrack a second because I think it's so important what you just said is that so often we define ourselves not by who we are, but by what we do. And that was a huge part of my journey, is to actually let go of those labels. So I am not what I do, but if I'm not what I do, then who am I? So that was a huge part of my journey, to come back to this own sense of self and to really love and appreciate her just for who she is without having to do anything, which is, you know, a version of defining self-love. The other thing that I'd also like to say is, now that I have the opportunity to look back, I also realize that all of what we're talking about, you know, this initiation into motherhood, this threshold, I think we are supposed to lose ourselves, because every time we go through such a huge change, and it's like, you know, if you look at, you know, significant stages that women go through, from, you know, starting to bleed to become a mother to going through menopause, I think all of those are like initiatory stages into like a next stage of our life. And there is going to be some loss, and there is going to be some grieving, but there's also going to be refinding.
I love
and
it.
it can be really hard in a culture that always like tells us that we need to like arrive someplace, to be in that liminal space of like, you know, I'm no longer this, but I'm also not who I am going to become. That's really difficult, on top of, you know, the daily demands of, you know, feeding, sleeping, changing nappies, you know, all of those things.
I love
so
it.
So I think success for me today is when I'm happy. That's been the biggest shift for me. It's my success is when I feel good in myself, when I feel good with what I'm doing in the world. But it's not about the doing. It's like this internal feeling of, I'm happy, I'm content with who I am. So success is no longer necessarily about, you know, I'm making this much money, or I've achieved all of these things. Yes, they're important and I'm here to have an impact, but my main measure of success is, do I feel good in myself?
I think it's beautiful. I think so many women, moms aspire to that, because that is very unique state of mind. And also, to me, it shows a lot of maturity and really like understanding also what truly makes you happy. But since, you know, when it comes to aspect of self-worth and self-love, this is also such a massive part of my message. I've gone through quite a long journey of that, you know, for a very long time before becoming mom. I would very much value myself or see my worth through the external things, great career, nice style, compliments, things like this.
Yeah,
they just fed me my sense of value, including, you know, nice house, husband, traveling, holiday every season and stuff like that. But the problem at one point became that I felt that there is no me in it, that I felt more empty than ever before, despite having everything that society told me that is good to have, it makes you happy, but actually doesn't at all. So I think what you were saying about that, at one point you arrive to your very own understanding and definition of who you really are, what truly you need to make you happy, what your values are, what's important to you, and live in alignment with it, that is really at source of having that feeling
and,
self.
And I very vividly remember that, you know, there was a point when Lily was a toddler, and I could definitely feel like my energy felt very stagnant, like things were off, like everything I tried to sort of do and like make happen in the world kind of fell flat. It was like treading through treacle. And I watched myself. It's almost like I watched myself, and it was like, okay, so on paper from the outside, like my life looks so perfect. You know, I have the toddler, I have the child I always wanted, I have the husband. You know, right now I can actually be a stay-at-home mom. You know, I don't have to juggle work on top of that. You know, I live in a beautiful house. Like on the outside, my life looked so perfect. But on the inside, like my energy felt so stuck, and it felt like there was something wanting to come out, and I didn't even know what that was at the time. What did come up is, again, popular emotions for women is guilt and shame. Like, you know, if I seem to have everything, why am I not happy? And then we make ourselves feel bad for wanting more. That was a really interesting stage to traverse, and also to name what is happening, because, you know, it's not popular to say I'm feeling guilt and shame. You know, it's not cool. It's not all over Instagram. Another layer for us to sort of move beyond. And I've also found, like, this letting go of guilt and shame then allowed me to go, okay, I'm actually going to verbalize my needs, and I'm going to claim what I feel I need to look after myself, you know, whether that's time or whether that's, you know, support around like mundane everyday tasks, I'm going to like allow myself to claim that without feeling guilty for not doing it all myself.
That's interesting what you say, because I literally this morning I did a quick reel about how I celebrate today, because today is Thursday. That's the only day in the entire week that I have for myself, because I send my daughter to childminders. Woohoo! And now I think there is a lot of conversation narrative that, yeah, we are really happy that we have that time for ourselves, but we very often need to add, but I love my child, or whatever you want to say. But then there's always that justification. You need to justify, but just in case someone judge you that you are a bad mom, you gotta add to it, but I love my kid. Even in the saying, which I really like, I love my kid, but I hate the job. Yes, because I see motherhood as a job and as a role, of course, and being mom is now part of my identity, but not the entire identity. It's just something that I choose to see as expansion. However, going back to the justification, yeah, we tend to, because of that guilt you mentioned and all the kind of society narrative around that, which we have not yet challenged enough, but we are doing great progress. Do you feel? I think there's so much conversation about this. I love encouraging women, and through that also myself as well, empowering myself to say out loud that, you know what, I celebrated. I love my time without my child, because I feel myself. There is a woman inside every mom. So I think it's so important to honor that, rather than just honoring this. To me, I think maybe the debate is that there is a mom, but mom is also a woman, and mom in a woman is not important than a woman in a mom. And I think the society narrative is just that way, that making the mom and the sacrifices, putting them on pedestal as a good mom, good enough mom, and the woman in mom seem to be less important than the role of a mom. And if you know what I mean, so it's a lot of that to challenge.
And also there's differentiating. I mean, mothering is a job, and you know, yes, you guide and support and nurture your child 100%, but mothering is also not doing all the household tasks, all the cooking, all the cleaning, you know, all those everyday things that sort of seem to fall into our lap, especially in this early phase of motherhood when, you know, a lot of women are choosing to be at home with their children. And equally, and that's where the societal narrative is so deeply, excuse my language, fucked up, because you can't get it right either. So I very much had this thing of, you know, I chose to stay home with my daughter for, you know, well, certainly 2 years. Then I took a year and went back and finished my degree at uni. But I chose to be there and be available for that experience. But then there were other moms who chose to go back to work. And there was, again, this sort of competition about, you know, well, if you're staying at home, you're this, that, and the other. If you're going back to work, you're this, that, and the other. And it's like, you can't get it right. So again, to me, part of this sort of shift in identity is, again, coming back to ourselves and going, okay, screw all of that. What is right for me? What is right for me, my child, my family? Let's do that. And let's not worry about what everybody else says, because you can never get it right. You can only get it right for you.
I absolutely love it. I love it. Make me think now also of, you know, that aspect of the confidence and where that source of our confidence, self-confidence really is. To me, it is a lot about self-worth and validating yourself. But that is a work. I think everything is a continuous work. It's not that it's just done and dusted, because life always will challenge us with our worth as women and moms. I think to some extent, but big part of identity to me is kind of like self-knowledge, like really understanding myself on a deeper level. And there are many tools, resources, but the one of the key reasons I really wanted also to invite you and chat with you is what you actually do as a human design guide. I actually first time found out about human design when my daughter was 3 months old. And I think at that time I wasn't that ready yet for the concept and diving deep, because it's really deep, it's really profound, and it's really awakening. And when you are ready for that, it to me personally uncovered that that even deeper sense of confidence, because it touches upon something that you often wouldn't be able even to verbalize. It gave me actually a lot of things, but I wonder, Aneta, if you can just tell us more about human design, what it is, and how personally in your journey human design actually helped you discover or rediscover yourself as a man and a woman.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. So I like to say that human design looks and sounds weird, but it's completely magical. So what it basically is it's a way of combining a lot of really ancient disciplines. So you've got aspects of astrology, aspects of the Kabbalah, the chakras, and also the I Ching. So the I Ching is a huge part of human design. So it's taking all of these things that have been around for millennia and putting them together as a way to understand ourselves as individuals. So I tend to describe it as like your own individual energetic blueprint, and yours will not be like anyone else's. So it's really all about showing you what is energetically right for you. And most of the time in my work with women, I actually find it's never about having to do a lot of new things. It's not like something that you learn intellectually that you then have to implement. It's really about understanding how you can use your energy in the most effective way, in the way that's easy for you, and also to discern what actually can you say no to. Like, what are you doing out of habit, out of obligation, out of a sense of duty that is actually not feeding your energy, that's draining your energy? And with kindness, can we say no to some things so we can actually be focused on what is our gift, what are we here to bring? And it's just about living life with more ease, with a sense of lightness and fun, and also with a lot of trust that in ourselves we do inherently know what is right for us, but we get so tied into knots in our head, you know, trying to do the rational thing, trying to do the logical thing, trying to like justify our actions and our decisions to other people. All of that takes away from actually us tuning into our inherent wisdom. So that's to me what human design allows us to do. I'm actually really glad I had the experience I had in new motherhood, because I did all of this identity shift over years, all of this like clawing my way back to myself, like, you know, what are my needs? What are my wants? You know, what about my self-worth? You know, what can I allow myself to ask for from the world? I did all of that without human design, and it took a long time. And then I discovered human design and then fell in love and decided to actually use it as a modality. So then when I studied it, even like the most basic thing, like explaining my energy type all over again, it was like, oh my God, that's so me. And that's all the things that make me, all the things that make me tick are the very things that sort of this early motherhood journey and narrative was trying to take away. And it's like, well, no wonder I wasn't fulfilled. No wonder I wasn't happy, because I bought into the idea that I couldn't have things like, you know, freedom and spontaneity and adventure and experience anymore, because I now had responsibility and I now was a mom. So it was very liberating. I just remember like this weight almost like draining away from my energy, going, oh, I can just relax because I no longer have to think about, am I this or am I that? It's like, it's saying it right there, and it so resonates internally. And it just gave me more courage to actually not do things that weren't energetically right for me.
Yeah, I think it's very much true what you are saying. So when I look at, when I think of human design and the true value of that is, I think it is in the context of how lost I felt as a new mom, but because I am the change maker at heart, meaning that for me, really creating
change. You totally
change,
are.
For me,
you're like
you.
The trailblazer. You blaze the trail that other people can follow.
You know what? I am. But the thing is that I always felt that about myself, but I didn't maybe have that audacity to maybe say it out loud that that's, yeah, this is me. So I think for me, human design.
I love that. I picked audacity as my word of the year for last year.
All right, yeah. Human design maybe granted me, gave me that extra permission to claim myself as someone who I've always known I've been. It was absolutely amazing to hear, because obviously we have different types there, and I am the manifesto type, which actually essentially is fire starter, and that was one of the main reasons why I named the show Fire Starter Man, because it describes the attitude, it describes the energy of starting things,
Yes.
maybe disrupting things. If you are like me, you like this. I'm the kind of person who never could settle in one career ever, who always had something to say, to change, to start, to maybe innovate in certain way in every single kind of career I've had. And then I started business back in 2015 as a personal stylist, and then I changed niches a few times as a life coach, business coach. So for me, the journey of starting things is really, yeah, I really resonate with that. Obviously, I'm doing this in my life, but I didn't necessarily feel good about myself. I was asking myself question, why can't I stay deep in one field and be that expert that obviously society and everyone is just putting on pedestal? Like, felt really like a misfit when it comes to that. And I think human design just enabled me to definitely own it even more. It empowers you to turn things around thanks to it, to yeah, bring it to your life and yeah, embrace it. Embrace it, that's the word. So can you tell us maybe more a bit like about basic types of human design and what means?
Also, you just mentioned the word empowered. So my business is called Empowered Human Design because A, I'm really passionate about empowering women, and also B, I want to make human design something that is actually supportive, something that helps people. So it's not a dogmatic thing. It's not like something else that you have to learn or that you have to do. It's really more about leaning back into your own essence. So the very basics of human design is there's five different energy types. Shall I just give a quick analogy of how they work together?
Yeah, I love your
Okay,
analogies.
great. Okay, I love a good story. So the analogy I'm going to use is around like a story, like a fairy tale. So in the fairy tale, you always have the hero or the heroine. So in this particular case, that will be you. So the manifestor energy type is relatively rare, and it's all about, starting things, like blazing a trail for other people to follow, setting things in motion, starting movements and organizations. It's very much like you said, this fire starter energy. And what manifestors bring to the world is just that newness and that innovation that then other people can respond to, other people can follow. So in our story, we've got, the hero or the heroine, they're setting off on an adventure. It's like an initiation. They have to travel, find out things. So that's the manifestor. Then you would have like all the people in the fairy tale, the people that the heroine meets along the way that support her, all these everyday characters. That's generators and manifesting generators. So that's most people. Most people's energy type is either generator or manifesting generator. And that's all about like being the life force. It's like getting lit up by doing what we love. And that generates a lot of energy that everybody else can tap into. And then you have projectors, and I do apologize, the words aren't particularly sexy, but those are the traditional human design words, and they do actually, they are relevant. They just don't sound like beautiful. It's like, it's a manifestor, not a fire starter, but the energy behind it is definitely very potent. So the projectors would be like the wise women in the story. So the heroine travels, encounters all these people along the way, they help her on her journey. And then at some point, there's often like this wise person character that actually says, here's the wisdom. Here's like the piece that you need to kind of complete your journey. So that would be a projector. So projectors are very much about having a higher perspective and about really seeing from that higher perspective what's working, what's not working. Like, how can we make this better? So they can see things that all the people on the ground living life, doing things can't see. And then the last energy type, which is incredibly rare, it's only 1% of people, is a reflector. And in a story, the reflector would basically be almost like the person at the very end that says, and the moral of the story is. So reflectors have this beautiful ability to tune in energetically and really understand the deep workings of like, dynamics and environments and situations, and to like, again, point out the pitfalls, point out what isn't working, kind of point out the shadow so we can work through it.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, when I hear it, I'm sure that many people can find themselves in one type predominantly. And how amazing it is, because when you hear that, you think like, oh my God, like why should I be trying even someone that I am not? Like for me, it
Yes.
is like most so the majority is generators. So the majority of population is really make it happen people about doing, right? And
Yeah.
then so for such a long time I was like, I would think that I am this kind of person and I believe this wholeheartedly. And suddenly human design showed me that, you know what? You've been actually doing things against your energy. Your role
Yeah.
is to start to follow your creative urge,
Yeah.
and just initiate, not necessarily just work, 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 do all the time, because you don't even have that sustainable energy. For me, the knowledge that I can work with that energy and I ha can have rest times, you know, and I
Yes.
have right to have them was so liberating. And so, like I said, like giving me that permission to be on it to thrive.
Yeah.
So, Ned, can you tell me how human design actually helped you personally find that, I call it inner fire, back once you became
Yeah.
mom and yeah, in your journey after?
Yeah. So like I was saying earlier, I felt like I had to do all the hard work on my own, which was a process in itself, and I'm grateful for that. But now that I look back, I describe it as excavating all the layers of who I wasn't by digging deep with a teaspoon. And what human design does is actually it alleviates the need for all that digging with a teaspoon and collapses time around the entire process. So I feel like I've gotten a really long way into understanding myself at a very deep level before I found human design, but it was hard work and it took grit and dedication. And then when I discovered human design, it gave me just permission to lean into it more because now I had an increased level of confidence that all the things I'd rediscovered about myself and that I reclaimed were actually the right things for me. So one of the key things, well, two of the key things that happened is I was much more confident saying no to things and not putting my energy into places that weren't supporting me and that weren't generating more energy for me. And also I stopped explaining my intuition. So as a manifesting generator, and again, this is true for generators, manifesting generators, which is 70% of people, my way of deciding what is right and what isn't is by following my gut instinct. It's a very clear, embodied, internal yes, no. And I've always, not always, but sort of certainly as an adult, I was increasingly tuned into that. But then I always felt like I had to justify it. Or else I would have like an embodied internal knowing of like, yes, this is the right thing. But then I would go into my head and go like, oh, well, but logically, is it the right thing? And like, wouldn't this over here make more sense? Or this over there? And also in a relationship, you know, I'd be going, you know, I want to do this. And there'd be this question of, but why? Why? What is it going to do for you? And I gave myself permission to stop all that explaining. And I would just say, it feels right. And that's what I'm going to do. And again, it's so liberating to not justify your internal knowing and also to respect other people's internal knowing and other people's boundaries. So one of my clients the other day, we were going to meet up and then she was going to give me a lift back home. And then we figured out we were actually like both having to leave early to do this particular thing we were doing. And I was like, oh, well, if you're leaving early, like I'm leaving early because of this, that, and the other. Like, can you just give me a lift there? And she was like, and there was this pregnant pause. And then she said, well, actually, I need that time in the car before my meeting to kind of compose myself and kind of gather my thoughts. So actually, I could give you a lift, but no, I'm not going to because I need that time before I go into my meeting. And then you do your thing and then we meet afterwards. And I loved that because how powerful is it to not give in to this pressure of, you know, I have to be nice or just because I can do it, it means I should do it. And to me, that's where the magic is. It's in the little everyday things. Because we tend to think of life as like, you know, the big decision and our purpose and our mission, but so much of our own self-expression happens in tiny, insignificant daily interactions. And I like to think that, you know, whenever we say yes to what's right for us and no to what isn't, it's like we're voting for our own team. And the more we're voting for our own team, again, the more our confidence builds up that when it comes to big decisions, to kind of stick to what we know is the right thing.
Yeah, what I love about what you said with those boundaries is that as moms, we deep inside we know that we need to set certain boundaries, even by saying, well, right now I need to my time. Maybe I want to go for a walk, and I really need that. And just saying it, and that when you say yes to something, you that means you say no one to something else, right? The other way around. But often, if we don't have that grounding, we may feel guilty for claiming that for ourselves. But what I love about human design is that guilt, in a way, is cancelled because you don't come from the place of worthiness. That's not even you don't even link it to that. You come from the place of no self-knowledge that here is how I am aware of how my energy works and how I work. And because I am aware and claim it and own it purely because this is what I am and choose to see that I am. From that place, so very stoic, solid, you just confidently claim things rather than, from not entirely feeling worthy, but you know that you probably should do it for yourself. So you set up. You don't have that battle, emotional battle. It comes from different place, and I think I
Oh, I
love
love
that.
that. Like the no emotional battle, it is so true. And also, so again, two things that I feel are really important when we get tripped up with women is, there's this idea that, when we say no to things or when we don't do things for other people, that, yes, we're being selfish. But actually, I feel that energetically, if we show up to something, but we're not 100% in it, we really don't want to do it. Like we bring that part of us. We don't bring our most expressed, sparkly, committed self. We're just kind of doing it because we feel we should. And I think that energetic exchange, even though we might be doing something for someone else that is helpful or, whatever, it doesn't come from that place of, yes, I want to do that. And when we come from a place of, yes, I want to do that, the entire energetic exchange interpersonally is so different. And also, another thing that I come across a lot is that as moms, we can, again, we think that like loving ourselves and prioritizing ourselves is selfish. And my belief is 100% that actually, by loving ourselves and giving ourselves all the things that we so freely give to our children, by feeding our own soul first, we are better mums and we have more love to give. And that love comes from a more authentic place because it comes from us being fulfilled and not from us being depleted.
Yeah, that's beautiful, and this is such a important message to put out there because
And also it shows our daughters that, to be a fully expressed, fulfilled woman is possible because that's what we want for our daughters, that's what we want for our sons. But if we keep modeling this sort of martyr sacrificial type of motherhood, somewhere deep down, that message is seeping in that, well, this is how mums are, and therefore this is how I have to be, or this is how I have to be, like, in future when, my partner becomes a mom. And it's a huge part of what I had to unpick when I became a mom, because a lot of the things around, like, how my mom was, who was not happy at all, who did not claim anything for herself, that was such a huge part of my journey of unpicking that when I became a mom. It's like, I don't have to be like that, but that's what was modeled to me, and therefore, unconsciously, I kind of picked up that that's how I needed to be. So if we can, again, if we can shortcut that journey and give our kids just a little bit less crap to have to work through in the future, then let's please do everyone a favor and let's do that.
Definitely. And with the human design, and which is that, would you say that human design is like self-knowledge tool? How would you describe it? Would you describe this way?
Yes. I mean, the way I like to describe it is I basically tell people that my job when it comes to human design, my job is to show you and tell you the story of your own personal magic. It's really seeing all the ways in which you already are inherently magnificent and you don't have to do anything. You just need to stop doing all the things that get in the way of your own magnificence. And again, it's not a selfish thing. It's just an everyday thing of being more authentic, of showing up with more integrity.
Absolutely. And of course, big important part of benefit of human design is that by giving you that deeper understanding of self, you can then decide how you can use that knowledge to, I would say, reinvent yourself in a new way, as a mom, as a woman, because why I keep talking about reinvention in a fire is because it just helped me massively in moving forward after becoming mom. Because, well, I am still in a process. The podcast is an expression of that knowledge and that fire, and seeing and owning this, and see where it takes me. And I feel that many moms, after becoming moms, whether that's in the initial months or years, in motherhood, or at any point really, after birth, they feel that they are not connected anymore to the person they were before. Yeah, the values, they everything changed, but internally that they just don't feel maybe a bit wobbly. And I genuinely believe that human design can be great way to really find that fire, meaning your new drive, passion, new calling, new thing that you really want to pursue, like from the inside out. So based on that premise, can you tell us what if a mom who is listening to the show is actually interested in the topic of human design, what is it, where they could find you, and what is what does the reading, human design reading, that's what it is, involve actually?
Yeah, great. So my happy place to hang out is on Instagram. So my handle is Empowered Human Design on Instagram. And the way I love to work is I love to make human design something that is fun to understand and easy to implement in everyday life. So you can have like a head full of knowledge, but if you walk away and you don't know what to do with it, then it's just knowledge, but it doesn't make a difference. So the way I've designed my interactions is I will take you through all the things in your chart that will have the biggest impact on your experience. So not every detail of your chart, but the things that will have the biggest impact. And I will give you afterwards a lot of tools to refer back to. So it's not just, me talking to you for an hour and then you walk away going, what just happened and what do I do with it? It's really practical and it's all about implementing it in your everyday life in a really easy and simple way. So it's nothing complicated. There's no 10-step programs and everything is about you as an individual because obviously your design is like nobody else's design. So I typically work with women like in an initial reading. We look at your specific chart for an hour. And you get a recording of it afterwards. And more importantly, there's this general aspect of human design that we talked about earlier, the energy types, where like everyone is like one of five energy types. I have individual master classes that you can listen to beforehand so you can understand, okay, so I'm a generator. What does that mean? What are the basics of being a generator? What are the basics of being a projector that apply to everyone? So in the time we have one-on-one, we can actually hone down and just talk about your chart in more detail. And I do work in person and I also work on Zoom.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. So that would be great because as we were just chatting on site, the human design, when you just Google it and see, yeah, it just can be really overwhelming. So it's good to start your experience with this the right way. And I think what you offer, just some educational aspect first, opening up you to even concept. And just see if that's for you or not for master classes and yeah, that I think that's great. And just seeing what that is on your Instagram. And I love
And
that you.
if you've got somebody, and if you've got moms listening that are going, oh, yeah, this is the first time I've heard about human design, I'm not entirely sure yet. You can also just start with a master class because just learning about your energy type is like the 20% that makes 80% of the difference. So if a reading feels like, oh, I'm not really sure I'm ready for that, start with a master class and then just, see where it goes from there and dive deeper later. But what happens if you know nothing about human design, you start Googling it, it becomes overwhelming really quickly. And you end up with a lot of pieces of information, but no idea how they all like work together in a holistic picture.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that and for this beautiful, deep, multi-angled conversation, which I love. The one question, final question that I was thinking of asking anyway, is if you were to give a TED Talk tomorrow on one topic with the one key message that you want to share, what would that be about?
Self-love is an act of activism.
Oh, wow.
That will be my topic is self-love is an act of activism. So in a world that tells us,
Yeah.
We need to be a certain way. We all need to kind of, you know, follow certain societal rules. Just to love ourselves as women and to really, truly mean it, that is an act of activism that disrupts cultural narratives.
Oh,
And that's how people
fabulous,
know that.
fantastic. See, I love this question because it actually reveals what's the essence, what's in your heart, what's the, you know, passion. That was that, what's that fire, right? Yeah, amazing.
And
Thank
I'm
you.
Really just, I also want to honor the work that you're doing, Gosha, for, because again, for me, having been where you are, struggling with identity, struggling with a sense of self as a new mom, struggling with this conflict of, you know, I love my child, but what about me? I am blown away that with your journey and also with discovering human design, that you have this depth of understanding that was so eluding me when I was in your place. And I really think that is a magnificent gift that you're sharing out there.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, slowly. Okay, well, thank you so much for this great time we had today. Yes.
And thank you.
And guys, if you listen, if you want to check more, I will leave everything, all comments, summary in the episode notes. Thank you so much. Take care. Thank you so much for joining me, Mama. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love for you to leave me a review and subscribe to be notified when the next episode drops. If you would like to connect with me, you can find me over at Instagram, where my handle is at firestartamom. Looking forward to see you back here soon for our next chat. Bye for now.